You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, and just like that, more football is on the horizon. Tonight, Bengals, Texans, battle of 0-1 teams that looked terrible just 4 days ago. One of them is probably going to get a win, and that's kind of exciting. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. We are all ready for week two over at rotoexperts.com. Check out your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package featuring a full database from inside injuries now. And find out from our Chris Mitchell, FSWA award winner, what Tariq Cohen is a mirage. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Ah, there you go. Wall Street, how are you, sir?
Doing well. It was a wacky waiver wire Wednesday night. Prices were going through the roof. I did acquire a couple of guys I wanted, so it was a good night.
We're going to get into that a few moments.
That's why I didn't touch spoilers.
I like it. I got the big GST waivers that went through last night as well. I want to take a look at those.
Speaking of GST waivers, last year was $100, so I forgot. I thought it was like $100, and I put like a $61 bid instead of
$610.
Oh, no. I love it. I don't know. It's very, very funny.
Some very good bidding last night.
Was there?
Some very good bidding. Yeah, if you looked at the Fab report in the GST league, the prices were close, especially one for one.
They were,
especially for one Javaris Buck Allen.
He's in our team.
Yeah, by like $2.
That's crazy. That's called a perfect bid.
That's a perfect bid. Y'all did very good with that. Y'all outbid me by like $2.
We feel pretty good about that. It's funny. I texted my partner in that league, Frank. I'm like, Frank, great job with the bidding. Like you really helped our death. Like good job.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, like, at least I bid. Like, what are you talking about? I'm literally saying, like, fantastic. Like, you really helped us out. Good job.
Doesn't he know you usually be complimentary, not insulting?
No, he thought I was.
Yeah. Well, I think after yesterday, I'm best friends, fantasy best friends forever. I think he was a little slighted.
Why do you think he was slighted?
I don't know. I was listening while I was eating my sandwich over at Potbelly. Give them a ring.
Free plug there.
And I don't know. You guys seem to be leaving Frank out. He was like the odd best friend forever.
It's all right. Yesterday, people that were watching the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever thought Frank was the healthiest one. And we're like, listen, this dude hasn't eaten a salad in his life.
That was great, but he agreed to have a shot of fish water over a salad.
Yes, he did. He ate salad. Anyway, on the show today, we'll get into the Fab ranking. We'll get into our the Fab reports from yesterday. We're also going to get into Scott Angle's weekly rankings, see where Scott is going wrong. We'll talk Scott Angle's Survivor Power ranking coming up on today's show, as well as preview, of course, tonight in the NFL, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Houston Texans. Got a fun little show for you today.
Sounds good. I'm glad to be a part of it. You know, still kind of struggling, but pulling it together. And, you know, I guess I think I'm like Adrian Peterson. I'm washed up.
You think you're washed up?
I'm washed up. I'm like AP.
We'll give you the first carry.
It's okay. Scott Sean Payton.
All that coming your way over the next 3 hours here on the Road to Experts this morning. We'll be back right after this. Hey.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
So yesterday we gave you the average player amount that all the big guns went for the day before. So now I want to give you the Experts League, the NFFC, the GST. How much did these guys go for? How important was it to them, now that Corey and Matt can be honest,
that they get some of these bigger names. And the first, of course, was Tariq Cohen. I know GST in the league that Scott, Corey, and myself are in, Tariq Cohen went for $784. Mm-hmm. It's about 78% of a team's budget. Did that surprise you, Corey, to see him go for that much money?
No, I figured he was going to go in the 65. I mean, well, not probably. I figured he was going to go between 75% and 85% of people's budget, because you get him for the long run. You get him for the entire season. You know, you get his services, and you see the situation in Chicago. It sets up perfectly where it looked like he's going to have an opportunity right off the rip, especially to be catching passes. Situations. What I was doing basically was, if I had a person that I could drop, because I just drafted, so I'm not trying to just start cutting people. If I had a person I could drop that I, you know, some of the teams where I had drafted back in June, July, where I had a Kenneth Dixon or Lance Dunbar, and if I had a situation where I needed running back depth, which on most of my teams this year I don't, luckily Hunt looks like he's going to hit and Elliott is back playing. So I'm like, okay, so I don't have a need here, so let me drop down, you know, to maybe the next tier. I'm doing it on a position on what I need. Now the teams where I did have it, I put Tariq Cohen myself personally in that 410, 415 range. Knowing I likely won't get him, but you never know, somebody might do what Matt Modica did and put 41 instead of 410, you feel what I'm saying? And I'll be able to scoop him up that way. Then I just dropped down, put the conditional bid on Buck Allen. I knew that Buck Allen, I, full disclosure, NFFC runs at 10, you feel what I'm saying? But the FFWC runs at 9. So I just go back, I look at the bids from the FFWC, then I go through the NFFC bids. You know what I'm saying? So I knew it was going to be high. I wasn't going to pay that much this early in the season. I do want to have some fab in case something else happens. So I just dropped down to the Buck Allen range, and I tried to pick Buck Allen off. So where I had a need, I was trying to get one of those guys. And then, other players I picked up last night, like I said, I got Kerwin Williams in the league. That was about the biggest buy I had last night, Kerwin Williams, for about $330.
Yesterday in the GST, he went for $332.
There you go.
So there you go. Kind of right around where you were talking about. Matt, who did you wind up with yesterday?
I did get Tariq Cohen for $522. The runner-up bid was $513.
That's a nice bid. Yeah.
And I also got Chris Hogan in that league for $411.
Well, Chris Hogan was the guy you really wanted. You're talking about him for a while.
Yes, and the runner-up bid in that was $375. So
not terrible.
I was pretty happy with that.
Now you don't have any money left.
No, I really don't have much money. But, you know, I do have the two players I wanted after week one.
But if you knew you were getting both of them, would you have bid that much on both of them?
I don't know. I kind of really wanted both, so maybe yes. Maybe I still would. I didn't think I was getting Cohen, I'm going to be honest with you. But if I'm looking back now, I'm happy I have both. I have a nice bench now. I have a stud lineup. I actually want to play Hogan, but I don't know who to bench. The only guy I could possibly bench would be DeAndre Hopkins, and Thursday nights have been horrifying for me.
You're just trying to get it right.
Yeah.
Scotty, did you get anybody in these big money leagues yesterday?
In the GST, I really didn't bid up high for anybody. I'm pretty satisfied with who I have, but I wanted to get to Sean Kizer as a backup quarterback. You know, I spent $41 for him out of 1,000. My regular home league, the regular waiver run, I got Kenny Golladay and Chris Carson. Needed some wide receiver help after Allen Robinson went out for the year. David Johnson is gone for the year, but I am submitting an offer to every single team in my league to see if they want David Johnson. And looking at their roster in my home league.
Oh, your home league?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every other of the 11 teams is getting an offer from me. And it's anybody from Theo Riddick to Joe Mixon, to T.Y. Hilton.
And what if if all 11 offers are shot down, are you going to, at that point, cut him?
I'm going to cut him.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to cut him if all 11 are shot down. But I want to cast a wide net. And in the flex, my highest bid was, because I need some running back help, because, you know, Marvin Lewis hasn't gotten it yet about Joe Mixon. So I got Buck Allen for $29.
Looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, that's what he was going for. $290, $29.
Yeah. I think he said $28 yesterday. Yeah. I think it was a 28 yesterday.
Yeah. So there you go. We got Buck Allen. What did I say? If we got him for? We got him for wow. We got him for 135. We got him for 135.
He's a decent buy.
It's 13.5%.
Yeah, that's a decent buy for a dude that's going to be, especially in the PPR, for a dude that's going to be catching passes and stuff like that, coming in at a little below 30% of your budget this time of year. I like that buy right there, especially if he can stay healthy. You know that more than likely Terrence West is not going to have back-to-back seasons of 16 games, and I don't think we see Danny Woodhead no more this year.
Danny Woodhead technically out 4 to 6 weeks for now. They're deciding they want to put him on IR.
Listen to this one trade-off where I'm sending in my home league to like one of the other top guys in the league, and he may do it, though, because he just picked up Kerwin Williams. He's got T.Y. Hilton. I'll offer him David Johnson for T.Y. Hilton, saying you want to stash DJ for the playoffs, and then I'll wait for Andrew Luck to come back.
You definitely get
and stash him.
You definitely have the advantage in that deal. So yeah. If they do it, then you win.
There's no way he's doing it. You just know he's one of the better players.
I know this guy. He's very, very reactionary. He may do it. Why not throw it out there? You
sure,
never know.
But that's a terrible trade offer. You're training guys never going to play again this year.
He might be reading the reports and saying he's coming around Thanksgiving. I put inside with it, you know, it's on ESPN, and I say maybe you want to stash Johnson for the playoffs.
Yeah, so if I would have read that, I would have read that. I would immediately press reject and not responded to you.
Yeah, but
because I was angry.
Because I would not see if you were in my home league, I would not send you the offer.
I appreciate that, Scotty.
But I know this guy; he is very, very reactionary, and he might do it.
I appreciate that.
Another player I picked up a lot yesterday.
Nelson Aguilar.
No, hell no. Sam Bradford.
Oh, yeah.
Picked up a lot of Sam Bradford yesterday.
It's so weird to me that, like, Sam Bradford.
Believe.
Sam Bradford.
No, Matt Wadiga going to start.
I don't know. I was getting crucified. Well,
I didn't pick up Hunter Henry, Max.
Hunter Henry was what? Like, top 10 or like 10 to 12?
Yeah. You
know, I was getting crucified on college.
It's interesting that Sam Bradford. He kind of went. He didn't really go for that much money anywhere, and Alex Smith did. And it's so interesting to me because they had very similar weeks, very awesome. And Sam Bradford is a more recent one. Just Monday night. Why did Bradford go for so little and Alex Smith for so much?
I don't know that Alex Smith. Me, see, I'm like, well, these people that spent up in Fab and paid up all this bread for Alex Smith. Please start him against me. Please do that. Alex Smith is not going to have games like that no more this season. Maybe the rest of his career. It's a mistake if that happens.
Smith is throwing downfield more. He's being more aggressive, and that's good for Kansas City. But you know, it's one game. That's totally reactionary to bid. You know, like in the GST, I put 41 on Kaiser, and Smith went for 100. I'd rather have Kaiser than Smith.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Would you agree with that too?
The rushing upside.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
We know what Alex Smith is. We really don't know what...
Well, it depends. Do we really know if Alex Smith now, if they're going to use Tariq Hill that way, and he got Kelsey. We saw Kelsey last second half of the season was one of the... He was second behind Mike Evans in receiving yards. So,
you know what I would say, Matt? I would say that I think what I will say is at least once a game, they're going to take a shot down the field to Tyreek Hill. At least once a game.
So, I mean, it's not that I hate Kaiser, but I think you're very dependent that he has to get that rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
I think that I don't even know if it's this shot. They're going to get the ball to Tyreek Hill from to do something. It could be far away. It could not. You know, like they're going to get him the ball.
They use a lot of misdirection when it comes to Tyreek Hill because everybody on the field has their eyes on him. So they do a lot of misdirection with that. The way that offense looked on the opener 1 week ago, they looked like they had figured it out. They know how to use him. They know how to get him in space. So. Interesting offense, but I still think it's going to be Kareem Hunt is going to be, as Scott would say, the crux of it. And I think when they get a chance to take shots with Hill and get him in space, they're definitely going to do that. All
biggest report from yesterday was I want to go to the Fab report for a second. Scotty, did you pick up Chris Carson anywhere?
Yes, I did. I got him in one league.
You got him in one league.
Had him in the roster drafted in another.
Sure. What do you expect of him this weekend?
I think Thomas Rawls probably ready to go. We'll find out from Dr. A tomorrow. But I think Thomas Rawls draws the start here because they know who he is and he has played well before. You look at his career. I don't even think he's played a full season. He has three games over 160 yards. So he can take advantage of the opposition. He did in the playoffs last year. I think they give him the first crack. But if Rawls doesn't look up to snuff, I think that Pete Carroll will go with the hot hand, and he will not hesitate at all to put Carson in there. It depends on how Rawls looks.
Yeah, Thomas Rawls, as Scott says, is expected to return to the lineup. But also, speaking of people returning to the lineup, I read about some optimism on Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, that's
to the
what they said.
Well,
they think he's going to play. He's got a good chance to play this week.
It surprised me, to be honest.
It really surprised me also. I would have to see it first, and they play on Monday night, so you got to deal with that again this week.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Back to back, you have to deal with that. And unfortunately, you don't have three games to pick from. You got one.
Now you only got one, so now you're really in the pickle. This week, when you're trying to figure out what to do with Odell, that's crazy.
Yeah, you had that pickle.
You gotta hope you have Kenny Golladay.
Kenny Golladay,
yeah, that's a good one.
Evan Ingram, somebody you're gonna have to look to. And as Scott mentioned a week ago, Roger Lewis, somebody if you're desperate, you're gonna have to do it here. If you have Odell Beckham Jr., you gotta stash him just in case. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, let's break down what we know about the Arizona Cardinals situation, because it's ever evolving. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
So what do we know
about
the Arizona Cardinals?
Ugh.
We know this.
The quarterback stinks.
We talked to Kent Summers about this at the BFFs yesterday. What we know is that Kerwin Williams will be the starting running back for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. It's against the Indianapolis Colts. Say what you will. You know, I got my fantasy draft lineup up for DKMS right now. Our DKMS fantasy game. You can start that at rotoexperts.com, by the way, /DKMS. You're playing a fantasy draft for a fantastic cause. They're trying to help end blood cancer. They're looking for bone marrow donors. So if you want to register, learn more information about it, you can go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. And then you have a chance to actually go to the Super Bowl. Literally, you scroll all the way down the page. You click the link to go to fantasy draft and enter a lineup in our contest. You win the week. You qualify for week 17. You win week 17. You go to the Super Bowl. It is as easy as that. So I have it up here because I'd like to go to the Super Bowl. So I went to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. I looked at the game. I'm like, okay, when it comes to Arizona, what do I know? I know that Kerwin Williams is going to be the starting running back this week. If nothing else, I know that. Is that enough for you to throw him in a lineup, Scotty?
I'm going to throw him in a lineup this week. You know, he's playing the Colts. I really, you know, I have Joe Mixon as my other option, and I can't trust him. So, you know, my feeling on him is that he's going to get the first crack to be the lead ball carrier, but I don't think he has much of a rope there, so, you know, if you will. So, he'll get the first chance. I think he'll be the inside guy. I think he'll be the goal line guy. You know, we're only speculating here. It is going to be a full-blown committee, but I think there are some situations, especially where you lost David Johnson, and if you bid aggressively to pick him up, and you couldn't get Tariq Cohen, or you couldn't get Buck Allen, you end up with Williams maybe as your contingent bid, that you go ahead and do it.
Hey, by the way, in a lead, just before you continue on, so you know, Eddie Lacy was dropped, Scotty.
I caught him in one league myself.
Nice.
I caught him for Chris Carson.
There you go.
Yeah.
Could have did that on draft day 3 months ago, Scott. But you know what? Sometimes it takes a little bit of persuasion.
Yeah, you know, we all learn things like 141 to 116.
Ding.
Yeah.
What did he learn?
What? We spoke about this extensively. He learned to, you know, know that I'm on the same level
I learned,
as a fantasy
player. I learned to respect my elders.
Yes. There you go. Said the guy with gray in his beard.
So, but the person that dropped Eddie Lacy, you don't know who picked up Corey?
Who?
Bigfoot.
Oh, no. He didn't drop Eddie Lacy.
He's got a good matchup this week.
He's in my rotoexperts.com/DKMS lineup. He's
Jared Cook?
He's 6,400 on fantasy draft.
Y'all ain't going to learn on Jared Cook.
No, yeah. It's 1 week. It's 1 week, and it's against the Jets. I will do it. It would allow me to put Julio Jones into my lineup.
I kind of like Will Tye better. He plays for the Jets against the Raiders. I'm just saying.
Look, I'll take the chance. Gets me Julio Jones in my lineup, I'll do it.
I'd rather have Zach Miller. Yeah. All right, well, take Bigfoot, dude.
I'll take him for 1 week. It's not.
I would take Zach Miller.
Zach Miller, yeah. Zach Miller over Bigfoot.
I like Zach Miller, but at only 6,400, I'm going to go Cook.
Zach Miller's the Jets this week. I do. Like
Zach Miller's 5,600. That's less. Then that's 56 is less than 64, Corey. Uh-huh.
It is. I went to college. I just like Cook a little bit better. Yeah.
You called me Fleener 6,000.
Yeah.
That's not bad either. You could have picked that up in grade school, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you have to go to college for that little nugget. Elementary mathematics right there. Yeah.
So we know that Kyren Williams is the starting running back in Arizona. We also know that Andre Ellington is the third down back in Arizona. If they stink as much as you expect them to, Corey, that means they're going to throw the ball a lot. That means that Andre Ellington is going to be on the field a lot. Kind of interested in PPR leagues and Andre Ellington.
No, not really. I want to see it with Andre Ellington first. I'm going through some lineups right now and getting ready to set them. I'm going to hit the dang button when I put Kyren Williams in the lineup, because I think I'm going to have to this week. Listen, they came out and said he was a starter. I think that he probably has the skill set most like Johnson. I think they can use him. They don't have to change the playbook too much. Let me put it that way. I'm not comparing him to David Johnson. They don't have to change the playbook too much. The offense is still going to be tight. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mr. Williams handles the opportunity. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of Ellington mixed in the passing game. But I still give me the rushing upside of Williams and the touches I think he can get. I think he can get 15 to 20 touches this week.
This is like the week. They're facing the Colts.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect storm. They had a horrific game. I quoted a Pro Football Focus tweet today that was showing you Jared Goff's best game as a pro. And I pretty much calling on Carson Palmer. This is Carson's last stand if he can't get it done today. He did look very good in the preseason, in that dress rehearsal game. I'm not going to write him off just yet, but this is a very important game for them.
So I'm glad you brought up Carson Palmer, because people sat here around this table saying, this dude is dead, I told you so, there's nothing left of him, so on and so forth. But we had on Kent Summers yesterday. He basically was like, listen, Carson Palmer wasn't as bad as you thought he was on Sunday. Listen, he made some bad throws, yes. A lot of that's due to poor footwork, absolutely. Carson knows he has to be better. Carson knows exactly what he did wrong. If he doesn't skip certain throws aren't dropped, it's a much, much different game. Evan Silva on Twitter said, listen, I watched the game. He's not as bad as you thought he was.
Evan Silva, for the disclaimer, is a huge Larry Fitzgerald guy, too. So, I mean, he needs part. And look, I still, I'm with you. I'm not saying Palmer's done. But I think this is a big test. I heard Kent Summers yesterday. Great job by you guys.
Thank you.
But this is going to be big. What? Forget the Colt game, because this is the game. Fitzgerald should be great. Palmer should be great. But going forward, I mean, even if Williams has a big game or the running backs go off,
right?
Teams are going to know we just got to pretty much take Fitzgerald out of the game plan.
They do, and we actually asked Summers about that yesterday on the show, and we said, listen, there's nobody else here, and it's just Fitzgerald, and that is very detrimental, of course, to fantasy football players that have Larry Fitzgerald. We talked about that on yesterday's show. And he's like, listen, this team had Larry Fitzgerald and nothing else for years, and Larry Fitzgerald always found a way to get the job done.
Yep.
So he's confident from a fantasy perspective on Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but Larry Fitzgerald's also 34 years old now. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald at 28 with a garbage quarterback, I mean, which extending his career, now he's a slot receiver. And I still, look, he's a beast. I've nothing but respect. I love Larry Fitzgerald. Class individual as well. I just think this is the week. That was the only hesitation I had making that trade with Jake, is I really didn't want to give up this week. But I wasn't going to let 1 week stop me from getting my guys.
Oh, yeah, and
Fitzgerald
reminds
me of those baseball pitchers who like throw hard and then they remake themselves later in their careers as crafty. Not every receiver can do that. To his credit, Larry Fitzgerald has done that. They're always going to find a way to get him the ball. If this team is going to be as bad as, say, someone as Corey thinks he is, well, they're going to be playing catch-up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will be, and he'll be throwing. And I'm, right as of now, against Corey Parson in the RGST League, we're starting Carson Palmer again.
Well, last week, Carson Palmer was one of the most, everybody was saying, play Palmer, start Palmer. this week I'm already seeing everybody saying, start Palmer. So.
Love it.
It's the right matchup, man.
Go for it.
We probably will.
I want you to.
I'd rather start Palmer than Carson Wentz in Kansas City. It's a better start.
That is a better start.
I mean, Sam Bradford worked out. Carson Palmer didn't.
Well, I think Wentz is a better fantasy quarterback, and Kansas City is going to be very interesting. I'm not killing you for it, of course, but without Eric Berry, it's going to be very, very interesting, you know, because they have one really good corner. You can't expose them on the other side, and now they're weaker at safety. I don't know if that Kansas City defense can be quite as formidable, you know, without Eric Berry.
I mean, it's a major difference, obviously very good for Zach Ertz.
This game's at Arrowhead, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would have trepidation about starting Carson Wentz.
I can see it, but, like, obviously Palmer has the better matchup. It seems like the cake matchup, but to me, I have ranked both like right next to each other in my ranks on rotoexperts.com. It's like I just feel like Carson Palmer's the better fantasy quarterback. Carson Wentz, I mean.
Oh, Wentz or Palmer?
Wentz.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going,
if anybody goes the other way, I know I'm not vehemently going
to
debate.
I'm expecting the Arizona Cardinals to be your survivor or whatever you call it, lock or whatever.
They actually are not.
We will get there in just a little bit. Scott Angle. I'm going to have to get this sponsored by somebody. Scott Angle, Weekly Survivor Power Rankings, until you lose, and then our sponsorship is over.
Fantasy Factor.
They are not sponsoring this contest today on the Road to Experts in the Morning. The Bears had Jordan Howard limited in practice yesterday with a shoulder injury. He's limited if he practiced. It doesn't worry me. I'm not the one selling on Jordan Howard quite yet. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Jordan Howard, there are a lot of people panicking, and actually, like, I saw one person saying it. It's just a matter of time before Tariq Cohen, you know, actually gets a significant workload, you know, more than Howard, and that's not going to happen. These two guys are going to complement each other. What has happened here is that Howard is no longer the lone dog in the backfield, and this is good for the Bears because their receiving crew is full of mediocrity, in my opinion. Now you have a very good inside runner, and you have a young Darren Sproles type that complement each other, and you have some pretty respectable tight ends. Instead of leaning on the wide receiver crew, that's what they have offensively.
I mean, mediocrity might even be a stretch.
Yeah,
I mean, but Kendall Wright was good in like 2013, and you look at the other guys.
You know what, though? I still think Trubisky starts at some point.
Sure.
And I think that'll open up the offense even more.
Well, Trubisky will start at some point. I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think so.
When it comes to him. Hey, speaking of the Bears, speaking of the wide receivers, Marcus Wheaton should be back this weekend. I get it. It's Marcus Wheaton. Nobody really wants Marcus Wheaton. But this team has signed him for a good chunk of change.
We got him. We picked him up, me and Christopher Caro, and a 50 Hall of Famer, $40.
I'm not feeling Marcus Wheaton. This guy just, like, he didn't deliver when he was in a much more potent offense. I don't feel I have any confidence he can take advantage of the opportunity. But, hey, you know, if Matty took a flyer on him and it works, I'm glad for him.
I want to comment on that.
So, a lot of money, Marcus Wheaton. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, Corey, you wanted to explain why Marcus Wheaton could be a thing in Chicago.
Because people all over the NFL hate Todd Haley.
Sure.
Todd Haley is one of the most hated people in the NFL by players and coaches alike. Very few people like Todd Haley. You notice when Emmanuel Sanders was a bust. While he was in Pittsburgh, he got to Denver, and he took off, and he showed with the talent he has.
Sure.
Maybe Marcus Wheaton is the same way. Well, maybe he's like, you know what? I can't fool this Haley dude. Because, like, hearing somebody say they hate Todd Haley is not something that is rare. You feel what I'm saying? Me and Ben Roethlisberger hated him for many years. So maybe Wheaton is probably like, Wheaton could be a type of player where he gets out of that system in Pittsburgh, he gets away from Haley, he gets to a new location, and he flourishes.
But you're talking about Emmanuel Sanders went over to with Peyton Manning.
True, I get that part.
Marcus Wheaton is going over there with Mike Glennon. It's a big difference. Now, to Matt's point, he'll probably step up and get the opportunity. And, you know, Matt's always correct, an opportunity. You got to look for that. He plays in some very, very deep leagues where sometimes you got to take a crack. But to me, maybe he'll get the opportunity. I just don't like any of these Bears wide receivers. I'm not messing. I feel like it's going to be the running backs and the tight ends. I don't have any confidence that Marcus Wheaton can step up and make the most of his opportunity just because the rest of the guys are mediocre. I don't like any of them.
It's not even if you believe he's going to. It's worth taking a shot if it's cheap and it costs you nothing. If you put him on your bench, nobody's telling you to put him in your lineup. Obviously, if you're in a 10-team league, you're not doing something like this. But in deeper leagues, you look at it, you put him. He got paid. It's like in fantasy baseball, too. We see these guys get the opportunity to fail that get paid. And then the younger, more talented. Problem is, with the Bears, it's not even like younger, more talented waiting in the wings.
No.
So, I mean, Kendall Wright, like I said, he was good, 2013? And, okay, he can catch the ball. He's played in the same system with the offensive coordinator, with the Titans. But, you know, somebody is going, one of these receivers is going to lead the team in receptions.
You know what, though? That's all valid. And I know we disagree. Somebody's going to lead the team in receptions, but I don't think it's going to be a lot of receptions.
Let me ask y'all a question. This is not on the topic. Well, it's about fantasy football, though. Y'all feel confident or comfortable putting Mike Gillisley in the lineup this week?
Totally.
Totally. He's in my Roto Experts.
Totally?
Totally. Yes. He is in my RotoExperts.com/DKMS lineup.
What about you, Greg?
Do I feel totally confident in him? No, I wouldn't say totally confident. I feel comfortable doing it.
You feel comfortable doing it, Matt?
I'd rather start James White.
You'd rather start James White?
I think James White's going to have a beast mode game.
Okay, so you don't... What about... Do you believe in the goal line upside of Mike Gillisley? Or do you think that was a one-time thing?
Oh, no, I definitely think right now he is the goal line guy. My only concern with Gillisley would be the hamstring holding up. The hamstring, he had the issue in the training camp.
He practiced yesterday, though, right?
Yeah, no, he's fine, I'm saying. But that's something that, you know, if he picks back up again, as Dr. A says, if it happens a second time, you're probably going to be out for an extended period.
I got him.
You can't always chase last week. But in this case, I'm all about chasing last week because they're playing the Saints. They will move the ball. He is 10,600 on fantasy draft. He is in my lineup.
Yeah, but they're going to move the ball, but he might be throwing touchdown passes.
That's what I worry about, too.
True.
You got the revenge game this week.
It's true for Brandon Cooks, but what I'm saying is they'll throw the ball, but for all we know, it's hard to predict these things. Brandon Cooks could catch a 66-yarder, and they could tackle him on the one, and then boom, Gillisley.
No, but that's what you're relying on, that he's going to be inside the 3-yard line or inside the 5. He will get the carries.
LeGarrette Blount scored 18 touchdowns, you know, last year with this team. So, look, they don't have Edelman, but still, against New Orleans, he's going to have his opportunities.
You know, I'm interested, obviously, in both James White and Mike Gillisley this week. I own James White. I have not entered him into my lineup quite yet. I'm starting to feel Riddick over him as of now.
I love Riddick. I would start White this week with that matchup.
Really?
I mean, Riddick's going up against the Giants, a much better defense. It's on, you know.
Monday night.
Both are on the road.
Yep.
But you're in a much better environment. You want to use the narrative, angry Tom Brady, whatever you want to do. Look, this is the Patriots, as the Rams couldn't have scripted a better week one matchup for Jared Goff and that team. Bill Belichick couldn't have scripted a better matchup with 10 days off to go to New Orleans. Was coming off a Monday night game, and we're all, you know, saying how terrible their defense is, which I think in the first half played actually really good. But, you know, we'll see. I'm looking at that.
I'm looking at Jake Seeley's lineup rankings. So because I have a team with Tevin White, I mean with Tevin Coleman and James White on it, both players. I have one of them is going to have to be in my starting lineup.
I agree with Matt. I would go with White because here's the other thing. The good point that you make that Matt, that defense looked good in the first half up front. James White against those linebackers, he's going to take him to town.
Jake has Tevin Coleman in his PPR rankings. Jake has Tevin Coleman as 23. James White at 24. Mm-hmm.
I got White ahead. I think I have White like inside my top 20 because I like if anything, you know, the defensive line plays well, but you know, if they bring pressure, they are just going to dip it to White like on look-ins and flats, and he's going to run the ball, et cetera. He's going to get the touches. Matt was right about this guy because they lost Edelman, and he's going to get a big opportunity.
The running back, I'm starting in the DKMS. Actually, I don't have him in right now. Oh, no, I do. Is Ty Montgomery. I think he's the guy that if we're going to look back, you know, I know it's starting to pick up a lot of steam about the Falcons and the pass catching back. But this guy played, I think, more snaps than any running back last week. And
Jake has him at four.
Who?
Ty Montgomery?
Yeah, no.
He has him at four.
That's rich.
If you're looking at, you know, the past few games that they've faced, they've been burned by Cohen. They were burned by James White.
Yeah.
And Montgomery.
Montgomery had a good game in the NFC Championship.
Most snaps by a running back last week. I believe that to be correct.
Yeah.
You know what? You have to look at Green Bay, too. Those are great points. Green Bay, the head coach is Dan Quinn, right? Dan Quinn was the Seahawks defensive coordinator, right?
No,
he plays.
Green Bay head coach is not Dan Quinn.
I'm sorry. Atlanta. Atlanta, the other side. Try to. The other side. It's okay. I know you're not feeling well. Dan Quinn on the other
side. You're the one that said it wrong.
You made the mistake. How am I not feeling well?
All right, look. Dan Quinn is the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, right?
No, he's the head coach.
I mean,
the
head coach. I'm sorry. Whatever.
You're not feeling well. It's okay.
What? No, I'm fine. I'm fine, okay? I'm ready to play kickball. Let's go. All right?
Boy.
Look, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. His defense runs by the same operations that he did when he was with Seattle, but they don't have the same talent. They saw those same cover three kind of looks, everything. They are not going to get out of a base defense. Green Bay saw everything they're going to see last week with a better defense. They walk in there to play Atlanta with the same looks. They're going to tear them up. So I'm with it.
Yeah, and if you're a Devontae Adams owner, I think he has a nice bounce back week.
I got him in my lineups all over the place. Not even
I did see one thing on Twitter yesterday. If I read it right, which I think I did, Scott Barrett put out about Joe Hayden. And if I read it right, how terrible he's been.
Hayden stinks.
Yeah, no, I agree with
you. For a few years now, yeah.
So it's like that should be an excellent matchup for Stephon Diggs. So we'll see. This is a nice litmus test. As I stated, either going on the road. So, and the Pittsburgh, I think the front seven is very well. I'm not a fan of the secondary. I think Kaiser got, you know, his receiving corps did not help him out last week. They might have had a
although check. Coleman made a beautiful catch. And mm-hmm. my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com right now. They're available. The in-season exclusive Edge package, enter free radio checkout for a discount. I have Ty Montgomery at 14 and James White at 21 and running
right.
back.
Well, we can spoil your lineup ranks despite seeing that on the rundown.
We're talking about Montgomery and White. So,
yeah, we don't
give
you your lineup ranks.
Why not spotlight it? Why not spotlight it? We're going to talk about a lot of other plays. We can talk about this more later, you know?
There you go. Yeah. You hear more about Scott's lineup ranks coming up in the 8 a.m. hour. Speaking of Corey Coleman, by the way, there's a big trade in one of my leagues, a really big trade that I think went down. I wanted to get your opinion on all three of you. It was Corey Coleman, Jeremy Maclin, and Jay Ajayi. Coleman, Ajayi, Maclin. For Tariq Cohen, for Dez Bryant, for Sammy Watkins.
I like the Bryant, Cohen, Watkins side better.
Okay. How come?
I think you have the more proven talent outside of, you know, the young man, Cohen. I like Cohen's opportunity a lot. So I like that side better. I mean, it's a fair trade.
Who was the first receiver before Maclin?
Corey Coleman.
That's why.
I'm going to go with Corey on that. I'm going to take the other side.
Okay. I kind of like the Corey Coleman side. Maybe I find that narrative
too.
Week one.
I do too. Yeah.
What are you talking about? You just said you like the other side.
No, I said I like your side.
Okay. I like the Coleman side. I think that I'm buying Corey Coleman. I bought Jeremy Maclin. I like JJ. So
you were the guy. You got those three.
I did not. I was not in the trade.
No, I like the Coleman side. I like his upside. Jay Ajayi. I think you get a top seven running back there too. You know, I'm just maybe I could be wrong on this. I'm just down on Sammy Watkins.
I had a lot of decision. Oh, again, in my game against Sean Gundy, did I start Dak Prescott or Ben Roethlisberger?
I'm going to start Ben at home.
I mean, yeah, they both have Cup matchups, but
I think that's a I don't get that line. Why Dallas is favored by 2 or 3?
I believe
from both from a pure football perspective, this is the biggest early test of Dak Prescott's career.
Oh no, no, no! You look at last season. He went into Green Bay last year.
Green Bay doesn't have a defense like that.
He went into Pittsburgh last year.
No, they don't have defenses like this. Defensively, this is the toughest test that he's going to face in his earliest career. But to answer your question, I'll lead Roethlisberger.
Is it? I mean, he went to New York to play the best defense in the NFL last year, so that seems like a pretty big test.
That's a good point. That
the
Giants get
kind of like bottle him up. Didn't they?
Yeah,
twice.
But yeah. That is a good point.
Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day, and they help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Another piece of information that I mentioned before when it comes to picking up players was something that we were kind of interested in GST was Danny Amendola. Problem is, Amendola's already concussed. We've talked about it for a while, and he's still concussed, despite Patriots having the extra couple of days because they played on Thursday night to open up the season. Amendola is not ready to go back to practice, which means the Patriots could be limited at the wide receiver position. We didn't know how much to put down Amendola. We originally had it at about 180, I believe. I think he went for around like 202 or something. We lowered that bid when it was all said and done. If Amendola doesn't play this week, we talked a little bit about James White a few minutes ago, how are the Patriots going to replace him? Well, you have everyone likes Chris Hogan this week. You have Brandon Cooks. What else, right? What other wide receiver do you have the Patriots? You have Philip Dorsett, which I can't imagine anyone is interested in. You have James White. You have Rex Burkhead. Patriots are going to throw a lot when it comes to the New Orleans Saints. We all expect this to be a high-scoring, fun affair.
Yep.
And the reason I think so many people are on James White is because there's just not much else you could do, right? Like, there's only so many weapons that Brady has. Maybe it's a big Gronk game. Maybe it's Cooks. Maybe it's Hogan. But without Danny Amendola, you just keep pulling people away. No Malcolm Mitchell, no Edelman, no Amendola. Keep pulling the pieces up, and what we hated about New England, which was that it's so spread out, goes away very, very quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Brandon Cooks is the man for me on this team. That's the guy that I want to own. But right after him, if I'm looking at the receiving options not named Gronk, it's Hogan and it's James White. And I wasn't a Hogan truther, you know, as the draft season was coming to an end. But now how things are playing out, especially with Amendola having the concussion. I don't know if it's his knee or his shoulder's banged up. But, you know, that's been the problem with Amendola. He just can't seem to stay on the field. And, you know, I want to own those guys.
You mentioned you like James White a ton this week. Scotty has him inside his top 24 running backs over at rotoexperts.com in his weekly lineup ranks, which we're going to preview about an hour or so from now. Your boy Jake Seeley has James White at number 27, just outside the RB2 range for half-point PPR, which is what I look at because that's a lot of what I play.
That's cool.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, Scott did half-point PPR ranks. Make it better for me.
Can I run a trade offer by the table
sure.
here?
This is the potpourri this morning.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Flex non-PPR. I have Drew Brees, but I also have Carson Wentz as a backup, right?
Hold on 1 second. 844-843-6879. Let's go out to Scott and Queen. Scott, how can I help you this morning?
How you doing over there? Just wanted to know.
Is that your Lenny Melnick impression?
No, it'll be a little bit more like this, you know, but it'll be a baseball trade. I need some running back depth. Well, you're an arrogant as they say you are.
Wait a time, Scott. I'll call back later.
Okay. I'll call back during the kickball segment.
Again, going personal for zero reason.
Anyhow,
we're not going to get to the trade
now. Drew Brees, and I got Carson Wentz in my backup. I'm thin at running back, but this is a non-PPR. Would you do Carson Wentz for Theo Riddick?
You're getting Riddick?
Yeah, I'm getting Riddick.
In a non-PPR?
Non-PPR.
Yeah, it's Drew Brees.
Even in a non-PPR, I would do it.
Yeah.
Yes,
you would
of course.
Do it.
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. Call back. Scott, good luck next week. Next, we go out to Greg in the East Side.
he was thrown out of the East Side. He's now on the West Side.
We'll go out to Greg. Let's go to Greg in the Hamptons.
Baby Boat Shoes, how are you?
I'm wearing sneakers today. Thank you very much. I've never been to the Hamptons. Thank you very much. All right, take a break. We're going to come back. One more headline I want to get to. And then, when we return, it is time to get in to Scott Angle's Survivor Power Rankings in week number 2. That coming your way. And now, number 2, the Rolex Morning.